ESPN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Here to talk about everything but extended election coverage.
Oh, no. I thought Donald was coming in.
That would make its own headline if that were the case. I suspect that there are other things going on his schedule in other parts of the U.S. at this point.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So you're probably your best course of action is to talk about yards, lawns, and gardens.
You think
and,
so?
And not election results.
Oh, man.
Because other people have been talking about election results just fine, providing commentary and perspective and information throughout the day. And this is the hour that is simply devoted for plants, dirt, trees, shrubbery.
It's not called dirt. It's called soil. Dirt is what you clean your floors of. Soil is what you put plants
into. But soil is dirt.
No, that's a misnomer. Anyway, Kyle is way off base as usual, but that's okay. But if you have any questions today about your lawn.
But you were a commissioner of dirt. You are a commissioner of dirt.
Golly. Talk politics then. Watch out.
Oh, boy.
Okay, questions are free game. Come on down. Talk about your yard, your garden, or whatever, but you can call 673-4464. 673-4464. All questions are welcome. So, did you know that plants or a nicely landscaped yard reduces stress? So you can sit in your backyard and say, gosh, this is so beautiful. I'm glad I'm done with work today, and I can sit here and relax and look at the birds and the bees and the butterflies, you know, like that. That's alliteration. Birds, bees, butterflies.
Very good. Yeah. And unless you start talking politics with somebody who has a different perspective while in the yard.
Well, then you...
Then the stress level goes up.
Then you kick them out.
What if you're married to them?
You kick them out.
Oh, boy. And this is also not a relationship advice program.
I know. But if you have a question about it, we can answer that as well. At least Kyle can. But at least, science says that when you're scientists, I guess, say you have a nice yard, you got some place to sit and relax after a hard day at the News Review, and just enjoy the late afternoon, early evening breeze and the birds and the squirrels that are eating your lawn, all that kind of stuff. It just kind of cools you off for the day, you know. And on the opposite of that equation, a messy yard promotes stress because you're sitting there. There's so much cleanup to do. What am I going to do it? How am I going to get it done? Well, you call a guy like me, or used to call a guy like me, and say, hey, I need my yard clean. Can you do that? And they say, oh, sure, we can do that. And that's good. So imagine sitting in your backyard looking at a jungle of unpruned shrubs and 3-foot-high weeds and feeling relaxed. It ain't going to happen, partner. It's not. It ain't going to happen. So either you call a landscaper or a landscape maintenance guy and start to clean it up, or start to clean it up yourself. And, that could be a full-time job. I mean, and I referenced my first house in Roseburg that it was definitely a full-time job because we had roses growing over our roof that were planted, 20 years prior. So, but if you attack the mess a little bit at a time, you'll get motivated to tackle the rest of the yard a little bit each day, provided it's not 101 degrees or snowing or hailing. I mean, there's a couple of months on both sides of that equation that will permit you to get out there and do some work. And I speak from experience, I'll tell you that. I mean, in my first house, the yard was a jungle, a living jungle with blackberries and 3-foot weeds growing like crazy and laughing and waving at me when I would come home. So I began the process of cleaning the place up. Just getting down to bare dirt, for crying out loud, was a real challenge. And when I started, I just did a small section each time, because if you looked at the whole place, you'd just say, forget it, we're moving out, sell the house, let's get out of here, let's go to an apartment. But that was not what I was going to do. But in 2 years, and it only took me 2 years, it was not only clean, but landscaped as well. And once it was clean, it was a pleasure to work in the yard and keep it that way. And it wasn't fancy. It was just a few roadies here and a few junipers there and, you know, neat and clean and well-spaced with a little bit of bark mulch thrown in there around them. And that was before I really started my business. I was heading in that direction, but I hadn't really grasped the idea that I was going to be a full-time landscape contractor. But I finally got the booklet that says this is what you got to do by state law to be a landscape contractor. And I studied the book, and it said some general information in it. And I went up to Salem, and I paid the $25 or whatever, and did the test. And I passed it with flying colors, of course, because I knew a lot of that stuff. And that makes it a whole lot easier. But getting back in the days, you know, way back then, I was a poor college student at UCC. So I had no extra money to have a landscaper, but I had my brother Steve to help. And he was still in high school, and he was open to my plan. I think I even paid him. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask him that. But I think I did, because minimum wage back in the day was a buck and a quarter an hour.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Buck and a quarter, baby. And I don't know if I gave him that much even, but he did a great job. He was, you know, like I say, in high school, strong and healthy and all that kind of stuff. And I was strong and healthy, but a little bit older. But our tools were a shovel, an axe, and my mother's lawnmower. And it took about a month to complete the job because it was such a mess. And thankfully, I had a little pickup. It was a 56 Chevy pickup. You couldn't get, the bed was a little small, so you'd cram all you could in there and stomp on it and cram some more and then tie it down with ropes and head for the dump. Well, I think I did about 10 of those trips in about a 2 week period. But when it was done, you could actually see my roof. You could see where the driveway was. The rose hedge, the 80-foot rose hedge, was trimmed down to the nitty gritty, and it actually looked neat and clean. And it was great. It changed my attitude, totally changed my wife's attitude for sure. But like I say, back in those days, I was like a college student there at Umpqua. So couldn't hire anybody except my brother, and that's why I got him, because he was gullible at the time. He's not gullible anymore, unfortunately, so I can't pull the wool over his eyes. But our shortage of tools made the job a little bit harder. So when you tackle an overgrown yard prior to the event, you might want to go down to A1 Tools or somewhere, co-op, and pick out some shovels and some rakes and some pruners and some shears and those kinds of things to make your job a whole lot easier. And, it's okay. But after the initial cleanup, it was, like I say, a lot easier and quicker to keep it that way. And I only had two small lawns. I wanted a little bit of lawn, not that would, because the yard was not, it was only level in a couple of spots. Like the backyard was level, which I later turned into a garden. And the front yard was, there was from the driveway down, there was a little hill, and then it was flat, and then we went up a hill around the north side of the house, and then that was flat for a little bit. So the mower, of course, that I bought was not an expensive mower, and it was not self-propelled, of course. I couldn't afford that back in the day. So I pushed it and kept it mowed, and we turned it into a very nice yard, but it took about 2 years to do it.
Didn't you have to push it uphill in both directions?
Both directions, and after a while I got tired, and I told my wife she had to do it, so...
I don't think that's true.
That's probably a lie, yes.
And you were doing this in the snow.
In the snow, and the snow was, I think, 6 feet deep at that time. I'm not sure. but it was
great snowstorm of 68.
Yeah, and after I put in the two new small lawns, I kept a little bed here and there just to put a few shrubs in, and I added a few shrubs along my driveway, and all of a sudden my yard was the nicest on the block, and people, my neighbors, came over and said, "Whoa, we couldn't believe you were going to tackle that." And we couldn't, boy, it didn't take you long, only a week or so. And I said, yeah, only a week or so. But over the next 2 years, as I lived there, I created, like I say, a nice landscape in my yard with new shrubs. And my neighbors were very happy. They'd come over and compliment me, especially Harry Hill, the shoe guy. He lived right across the street from me. And and his yard was meticulously done. His yard was old-time yard, but and not a lot of pizzazz in it, but it was neat and it was clean. And when they planted flowers, they all grew. And his yard was about half the size of mine. So it was just a real challenge all the time. So my point in all that being that if your yard is a real mess, begin to clean like the small areas first. Don't try to immerse yourself into the whole thing and lose heart and quit in the middle of it or so. But, you know, try your front entry up to your front door, from your driveway to your front door. Yeah, you need a little bit of work there. Are there shrubs that are overgrown? Well, pull them out or prune them way back or take every other one out or, you know, just clean it up a little bit. Create some space. So people aren't afraid to come to your front door, and they know that there's not going to be a lion or a tiger that's going to jump out at them, and or a kid, you know. But it was, when I was done with this, it was, you know, actually nice to walk around my yard and create new planting beds, new planting areas. And I made some mistakes by buying too many plants at any one time and planting them too close together, which I preach on all the time. Don't do that. Don't do that. But I learned from that mistake in about 2 years. for instance, my driveway was, you know, just a normal one car fit-in type driveway. And, you know, I went down to Payless back in the day, and they had plants out there, and there was these juniper plants, little cute juniper plants. And they were, you know, the low growing ones, kind of low growing, at least that's what the sign said. So I think I bought, I don't know, 8 of them, I'm not sure. And the bed that I was going to plant was probably only 12, 15 feet long, if that, probably more like 12 long and about 3 feet wide. So I planted these junipers about 3 feet apart and, you know, right in the middle of the bed. And they looked really good for about 2 years. And by year three, when they put on their new growth, there was a real jungle there. And you couldn't park next to them and open your driver's side door without hitting the juniper. I didn't know they grew that fast or that large that fast. So that was a good lesson right there. And okay, you don't plant junipers 3 feet apart next to your driveway, dummy. Okay. But on the plus side, I learned a lot about pruning. You can't kill junipers by heavy pruning or roses either. And so I pruned them puppies way back. And my wife said, "What'd you do, kill the plants?" I said, "No, I just pruned them." And they came bursting back with new growth the following spring and looked really good. So my point is that when you buy plants and you're going to plant them yourself and you really don't know how large that plant is potentially going to grow, you want to give them a lot of space, because if they don't fill that space, that's okay, because you can buy some other plants later on and kind of fill the gaps, and makes it more interesting that way, and it's easy. But like I say, don't get over planted initially. Now, it's funny because as I drive around Roseburg or Winston or some other places, I see these brand new houses going up, and they all look good. And then I don't know who does the landscaping, but they do them in the front yards, you know, just to kind of jazz it up for potential buyers. But I look at them and I shake my head and I go, they don't know how fast and how large those things are going to be in 3 years, because they always plant way too close, because the plants are small. They're 1 gallon size, or, you know, a foot wide or 18 inches wide at the most. And they look good, but when they're only 3 feet apart, you're looking for a disaster down the road. So we got a break?
We do.
Okay. You've got a question, 673-4464. That's the number. Call.
It is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, 421 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 424-673-4464 is the number to call if you've got a question for the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters.
The Commissioner of Soil, actually, that's okay. He doesn't know the difference. Anyway, I was talking about in the early segment about overplanting and not being wise enough to know how plants grow or how large they get. And, you know, it's a learning experience. If you're doing the work yourself, the plants look cute at the nursery and they go, oh, gee whiz, that'll look really nice by the front door. Yeah. Well, by mistake, they plant it, you know, two or three feet from the front door or the front porch. And within 3 years, they're going, what do we do with this monster that has grown here so well? Well, you can prune it real heavy or remove it. So you got to do some research on your plant materials and, you know, how large will this ultimately get? And ask a lot of questions. And in that initial experience that I had with my place, I learned a lot about pruning, of course, and I learned a lot about spacing out plants properly, because the bed I had, like I say, I think it was maybe 3 feet wide and 10, 12 feet long. And these junipers in about three years, they were probably 5 feet wide, 2 feet over the driveway, or a foot over the driveway and a foot into the lawn area. And they were all squished together. And they still looked good, but I could tell that, you know, in another year in that location, I wouldn't be able to use the driveway except as a walking path, for instance. So, like I say, I learned a lot about pruning, and you can't kill junipers by heavy pruning, and you can't kill roses by heavy pruning either, because I had this 80-foot rose hedge that the prior owners had planted. They were an elderly couple, and they loved plants, and you could tell by all the stuff that was in the yard. For instance, the rose hedge, the roses were hedge roses because they didn't spread out. They kind of grew up and stayed a little bit tight, but still they were only like 3 feet apart. And in no time at all, they were, when I moved in, then nobody had pruned them in a year or so. And then another year goes by and I'm thinking, geez, and they're so, by that time they're like 6 feet tall, 6.5 feet tall, and leaning over, not quite into the street because we had some space there, but they were leaning in, and so I thought, well, I'll prune these puppies and maybe I can kill them. Anyway, I pruned them right down to the ground. I had some brand new shears, gas operated shears, and I went through there and bingo bingo, and my buddy Harry Hill across the street, of course, came over to visit me one day while I was doing this, and he said, boy, I don't know what you did there, they're not going to come back and all that stuff. Well, I loaded all all those rose cuttings in my truck and again went to the dump. That's what we called it in the old days, the dump. And threw them in there. And I'd say within, 2 weeks, and I never watered, I never fertilized this rose hedge ever, but within 2 weeks, there was new shoots coming up from those roots. And within 2 months, they were back up almost 4.5 to 5 feet. And the whole hedge was full and it was blooming. It was so beautiful. It was the most beautiful hedge on the whole street. And my buddy Harry Hill said, well, you didn't kill them and they look pretty good. And I said, yeah, that's true. But after that, I learned, well, I can prune them down about knee high or, waist high, and they'll be fine. If I had to do it twice a year just to keep them in shape, I did. And they filled out really nicely. And like I say, I never watered them. I never fertilized them. I didn't do it. I never sprayed them. And they grew like gangbusters year after year after year. So, but like I say, I learned a lot about pruning. You can't kill junipers by pruning too heavy or roses either. So if you got problems like that, if you're in an older home that has those kinds of shrubs and you want to knock them down, feel free. You're not going to hurt them. And once you do that, it's easier to repeat the process 2 or 3 times a year and keep them neat and clean and full. And if you do have a jungle, but you don't know what to do, go get some professional advice, from a landscaper. And, ask them, what the heck do we do here in this little area? And, pick a spot that's overgrown and maybe remove the weeds and prune any shrubs that need it. And then enjoy what you've done. And if, like I say, if you have the resources, call a pro for a consultation. Consultations are easy. When I do a consultation, I talk to my client. We walk around the yard. I ask them questions. They tell me what they would like to see and what they'd like removed or what they'd like to add. And I say, well, if you add that, you're going to have a problem in about 3 to 4 years because it's too close to the fence or it's too close to the patio or, give them the reasons for that. So that when they do choose something, and then I'll draw them a little sketch. I can do a quick sketch on site, or if they want, they can have a master plan, and that takes a while to do, and that's a few $100 there. But a sketch and a consultation, $50 at the end of the time, and then they can do this on their own time schedule, their own time frame, as the weather permits, that kind of thing, and then they can get the feel of their plants. They can get the feel of their yard because they're actually doing something in their yard and seeing how other things that they've left are growing. And and I teach them how to prune. And they're, you prune a rhodi one way, you prune a juniper another way, and then you prune a pine tree another way. So there are methods into the madness of pruning. And if you do it correctly, hey, it's good for the tree, it's good for the shrub, it's good for your yard. And you're all of a sudden your yard goes, wow, this looks good. I didn't think it could ever make it look good, but it does look good. But like I say, start small and start in pick a spot that's really overgrown and just remove the weeds and prune any shrubs that just need it. And then you'll enjoy what you've done when you sit back and look at it and say, yeah, I can do this. This is not, calculus. This is easy. It's common sense. We just have to do it in a commonsensical way. So if you do have the resources, call a pro for a consultation, like I say, or a plan, and a little help from a pro professional will help you get started at least in the right direction. And if you want a plan, like I say, I draw master plans and I draw sketches and things like that. At the least I do is when I'm talking to a client is to list things down on a sheet of notebook paper and say this first, this second, blah blah blah. These are the kind of, and give them a short list of plant materials that would fill the gaps that we might have created, and take out the stuff that I know that's going to be a hassle and overgrow the space that it's in. And it's a process. But you know, once they get started, they kind of learn you know, the types of plants that they're buying and how to plant them. I always give them instructions on this is how you plant it. You just don't dig a hole and stuff it in there. You dig a hole larger than the root ball by about another half size, deeper and wider. And then you have a good soil mix that goes on the bottom. So when you put that new plant in there, it's sitting on a good soil mix. And then you fill in the rest of the plant with this good soil mix. And bingo, water it, and that thing grows and looks good and is healthy. And then once it's rooted in and it's vigorous, then it can get into the clay soil or rocky soil or whatever other type of soil you might have in your yard. Then the root system is strong enough and hardy enough that it can spread and get through the hard stuff. And that usually happens in about a year to 2 years, but mainly in about a year if you fertilize it a little bit. And like I say, once you've completed that initial cleanup, it's finished. It's a whole lot easier to keep it looking good. And when you stand in your backyard, you'll feel good about what you've done. And you'll want to consider what additions maybe you can make and say, well, why don't we create a barbecue area? Or why don't we create a little private area where we can put our lawn chairs out and just relax and read a book or whatever. But a nice yard is a plus to your mental health, okay? It's a plus to your mental health. You look at it, you feel good. You feel a sense of satisfaction, and just, well, I like my yard. It's a nice yard. And then you become aware of other landscaping and other landscapes as you drive around town and you see places that are way overgrown. And you go, wow, my place was looking like that. I'm glad I did what I did. And then you'll see some brand new houses with some brand new landscaping, and you can tell the difference right away. And you'll know that the plants that they put in, they're not, it's not overdone. They're not going to overgrow. They're not going to block the view from your driveway, so that you can get out of your driveway safely during the day. And you just get a lot of new ideas that way to add to your own landscape and change a few things or add a few things or eliminate a few things. So our climate here in Douglas County is such that we have four seasons. And a result, we have many plant selections to choose from. We can have color in our yards year-round, provided we shop and look at what plants there are that will grow well and maybe bloom in the spring, bloom in part of the summer, maybe shut down in August and September when it's hot, but then October, November come around and they can rebloom, or they can always look good. But you can have color. So get busy in cleaning up that yard and enjoy your yard and enjoy your home. And what it does, it adds value. Should you have a desire to sell your home sometime in the future, the first initial look of a potential buyer is the yard. And if the yard is a overgrown jungle, right away that's a strike against you and your sale. But if the yard is really neat, clean, looks good, that's a plus. That's a real plus. And the new owner possibly is interested then and go, oh, yeah, let's talk to him. So we have a break. We'll be back.
All right, Mike Wetter's Lawn and Garden Show, 437, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240, KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 4:40, 20 minutes away from the afternoon report at 5 o'clock with Douglas County's news team Currently, it's cloudy, 50 degrees in the Umpqua Valley, and the phone line's open for you at 673-4464, 673-4464, to get the help you need to make your yard a big success and really well-liked.
Yeah, and saleable, eminently saleable, if you want. So, with the days getting shorter and colder... there are some plants to get that have color now, and you can put them in your yard, and they're called mums. Mums are a tough weed, I'll tell you what. They look like a weed when they're growing, but they're perennial, so they don't. They may die down in a hot and a cold spell. We got a call?
We do. You're on with Mike Winters. What's your question?
Hey, Mike, this is Dale.
Hi, Dale.
How you doing?
All right, so far.
So far, so good?
Yes, sir.
So many years ago, I picked up some honeysuckles from you.
Some what?
Honeysuckles.
Oh, honeysuckles, okay.
Yeah, and they have always done terrific. They're, 8-9 feet tall now.
That's a pretty good size honeysuckle.
Yeah, well, we put in some extra posts and fencing so they would, you know, it's a barrier.
Okay.
They're really bushy on top, really green, lots of flowers, but like the bottom quarter, bottom third is pretty naked.
Yeah.
If I take my hedge trimmer and whack that all back, is that going to regenerate from the bottom as well?
Yes, it will. Are they in, they got plenty of sun on them that'll hit them on the bottom?
If I trim the top back.
Okay, good. Then you're okay. As long as they have some sunshine, you know, where they can regenerate new growth. Because, see, as it grows up and gets taller or wider, the nutrition from the soil goes to the growing parts of the plant. So it's going to the top. It's reaching for the sun and the rain and all that kind of stuff. But if you take all that top away, the roots are still the same size. So they're sending up the same amount of energy, but no, with no place to go all the way to the top, they start pushing new leaves on the bottom. Does that sound right?
That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Now, well, that's perfect. Also, you sold me an autumn fantasy for a shade tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful shade tree.
Good. How long has it been in?
Probably 6-7 years.
Oh, yeah. Probably, what, 15 feet, 18 feet tall?
No, it's a lot bigger than that.
You must be taking great care of it and have good soil.
It seems to really like it where it is. It's way bigger than I ever imagined it being, but boy, is it nice in the summertime.
Well, you can also prune it if you like. If you think it's getting too tall and you want it to spread a little bit more by pruning, you know, the tops out, and you know, maybe taking 4 or 5, 6 feet off the top growth, and the following year, what happens? It gets bushier, it gets fuller with what you left, and it gets shadier for you. So that's something to consider.
I couldn't get that high in the tree. I had to have a man lift out here or something. This thing's a monster.
Okay. Well, yeah.
But I have limbed it. Underneath, I've actually made a tunnel type thing through it. So when you walk in the front part of the yard, you can look through it to see the pond and the shrubs behind it. It's really beautiful. It works out really well.
Well, good. If you like it that way, who am I to try to change your mind, huh?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
All right, Mike.
Hey, thanks for
the
call.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
All right, you can call as well, 673-4464, 673-4464.
Yeah, and any call is fair game, you know. I mean, your lawn needs some perking up. I can tell you how to perk it up. Or if you need something pruned, shaped, or whatever, I can tell you how to do that. Or you can have a professional come in there and do it for you. You know, I spent 50 years in the landscaping and nursery business, so I got a little bit of experience. I've I've made a few mistakes here and there, but I already told you about my mistakes with my juniper in my old yard. So, but talking about color in the winter and mums will give you color clear until I think a heavy freeze, you know, or snow or something like that. And lots of color, lots of blooms. And in a mild winter, you can have blooms into December or even longer than that. And the secret is to plant them in the fall before the freezing season it begins. And if the temperature drops to zero or it snows 6 inches, they can eliminate the fall bloom very easily. And here in Douglas County, they grow and bloom fairly well. You know, because of our winter temps are fairly mild, and we don't usually get, you know, a month of freezing ice or 2 feet of snow. I mean, it's a rarity when that happens. And if they don't bloom, go ahead and prune any of the bad stems, you know, those that have very few leaves, to let the energy of the plant go to the good parts of the plant. And of course, then the roots will grow stronger if they don't have so much top growth to take care of. And you just kind of balance out the plant that way to try to, and you can't see the roots because they're under the ground, but you know that if it's sparsely leafed out by pruning it back, and let's say you got a half a dozen of these things, prune one back, see how it works, and then if it works to your satisfaction, hit the rest of them, and they'll do really well for you. So Douglas County, you know, they grow and they bloom, like I say, fairly well because, like I said, our winter temperatures are fairly mild. And and if you want to get rid of the bad stems, go for it. And like I say, the roots are going to grow stronger. And if you apply some kind of a mulch around the bases, like bark or even old sawdust, just make sure it's old. You put that around the base of them and kind of give them a couple of inches of insulation. They're going to be stronger for it because the mulch adds insulation to the root systems, and it also adds some different nutrition that the soil or commercial fertilizer doesn't have. And it's a balancing act. Plus that, the mulch is neat and clean, and it just looks finished. You know, you put the icing on the cake that way. Another winter bloomer are pansies, believe it or not. You wouldn't think so with that name, but they are tough, and they bloom even when it's frosty, and they'll brighten up your yard. They're smaller than the other plants that I was talking about, but they're almost like a ground cover, in fact. But they'll brighten up your yard, unless it's covered in snow. And just to test their hardy qualities, plant some mums and some pansies in your landscape in the early fall, like September or even into October. And the cold weather doesn't really start until about November. And we might have a cold day in October, but November is when the temperature actually starts dropping down there. So if you plant in September, they can grow hardy root systems until it gets real cold and the winter actually begins. Now, if you have some flowers or shrubs in pots, you can protect them from cold damage by wrapping the container with like layers of burlap or an old rug or some blankets or something like that. You can even wrap plastic wrap around the pots, and that's just added insulation because the pots are, you know, your potted plants are sitting on top of the patio or on top of the deck, and they're more, when the cold weather does hit, their root systems are more susceptible because they don't have near the insulation that plants in the ground have. It has to be super cold for frost to kill a plant that's in the ground, you know, way down in there. But in a plastic pot, which in some of you got ceramic pots, so they're a little bit thicker. thicker walled, but still, when they get cold, they get cold and they stay cold until it actually, the weather really warms up, and then it takes a while for them to rewarm the root systems. And you can wrap them, like I say, in burlap, or you got some old blankets hanging around in the hall closet or something like that. Wrap that around, tie them with some string, and that just adds some insulation and protection for your root systems. It's a good idea to do. And don't let the plants dry out in the pots either. We shall return?
Yeah, we will.
Okay, I'll be back. Stay tuned.
In a moment, 673-4464. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Just minutes away from the afternoon report at 5, the Ramsey Show at 5:30, Rich Valdez at 7, and Coast to Coast tonight at 10. All ahead right here. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, and 673-4464 is your phone number to call right now.
You know, if I was awake at 10, I'd listen to that show.
Every once in a while, I'm up that late, but usually on weekends.
Yeah. So I'm talking about rehabbing your yard and making sure when you do landscape it, if you do landscape it yourself, that you have hardy plants, that you don't plant them too close together, and don't buy too many all at once, because you can, like I say, if you spread them out, you can always add more later on. And, you know, the plants that you have, say, on a patio, and they're in a pot, maybe a ceramic pot or a plastic pot, and the cold weather comes along and you go and you don't know what to do, you can wrap them with burlap or an old blanket or something like that, or put them up against the house to where they can get a little more protection. And or you can even bring them into your house if you have the room. And so, you know, I live in a canyon, and I've got mountains on both sides of me, and it's cooler in there when, let's say, it's 30 degrees here in Roseburg. Well, it's probably 24 or 25 at my house, and if it's and it can get pretty cold and stay that way for a while, because if it's a clear day, I might get the sun in there about 11 o'clock in the morning, and it stays till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I appreciate that very much. And then it goes behind the ridge to the west, and so it's a cool place. And the trees that I have, the Japanese maples that I've planted all over the place, I got probably about 30 of them of different shades and colors and growth rates, and just kind of scattered them around because right now they're in their fall color scheme, and they're just absolutely, I got bright yellows and burgundies and hot reds, and they're just, I just kind of mixed them up, and I didn't, you know, just kind of spread them around on about a half an acre or so, or maybe a little bit more. Got some out by my shop. I got some along my fence line, got some in my planters by the house, and they just really color up the place when it gets cold like that. And anyway, it is cooler and colder in my canyon because of the shade, and the sun don't shine on my yard all day. I wish it shined a little bit more. But I have mini roses and tea roses in bloom right now, and some are in pots, and some are planted in the ground, and in fact, they're in shade right now most of the day, but they're still blooming well. I'm really impressed with them, and I mulch with bark about 3 inches deep, and that's to protect the roots from freezing. So if you have some potted plants, and put 2 or 3 inches of mulch to protect the roots from severe cold. It'll help a bit. If they're a thin-walled plastic pot, that's kind of hard to do, but maybe, like I say, you can wrap them with a blanket or burlap sack or plastic or anything, you know, anything to keep the cold from creeping into the root systems. And I've spoken about fall color on trees many times, but the most colorful trees I have on my yard, like I said, are Japanese maples. And some are right now deep red, some are really bright yellow, and then are some are just really deep gold in color. And it really adds a nice mix of plants. And they don't grow into be huge, huge trees. I've got one that's about, maybe 15, 16 feet tall, I will prune that this winter down, maybe take 4 feet of it out of the top of it. But the majority of them are the weeping varieties that maybe they get 5-6 feet tall, but they spread 6 or 8 feet, from the lace leaf types. But I've got them in places where I don't have to butcher them. I can prune them very easily, and they just look good. And they're so tough, and they're so colorful. That's the thing. You want color, not year round, but in the spring, the summer, and the fall, and maybe you don't have the color in December and January, but that's okay. You're going to have some later on. And so don't hesitate to buy a Japanese maple. They're like super hardy and beautiful. And if you put them in good soil with good drainage, they'll grow into a magnificent tree. And by magnificent, I don't mean big, tall, huge thing, but just a beautiful beautiful tree that's a miniature dwarf, if you will. A lot of them only get 4 or 5 feet tall. Some of them get 6 or 7 feet tall. But they spread. Excuse me. And they're just a beautiful tree. So anyway, I appreciated your questions today, all 10 of them. I wish I had 10 questions. And one day I was in here and we had questions right off the bat, like what, 3 or 4 of them, just bing, bing, bing. And as I looked at the clock, we had gone through 20 minutes of airtime before I had even started my what I had written down and planned for that day. So I want to thank you for listening. I hope you learned something, and tune in next week. We'll have another show.
But you're not done yet. You've got like 40 seconds.
40 seconds? Okay. Well, I'll sing a song.
No.
No. I was going to sing a song about trees and shrubs.
Oh, boy. Try to maintain our good radiance here, and I'm not sure that would...
Radio decorum.
Would be... that might be fake entertainment. I don't know.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
All right. Back next week at 4 with Mike Winters. Afternoon Report is next. 50 degrees coming up on 5 o'clock at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.